Jeff Hager, WHLT, CBS 22, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and Alden Bennett. He works with the Sports Information Department and is admissions counselor with the University of Southern Mississippi. Guys, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. Doing well, Brian. You set the stage pretty high with that intro music last time. I was expecting a little more, you know?
You know, it's been a long day. We're working hard here, working overtime during the Olympics, seeing what we can do. We're gonna get right into it. I'm gonna ask you guys right off the bat. We'll start with week one. What games are you guys looking at in week one as some of the big ones, and any potential upsets?
First off, the very last game of the night is gonna be Ole Miss and Florida State, top 25, top 15 matchup. University of Mississippi is not far from where we are, and they're coming off a great season, the Sugar Bowl, and matched up with the perennial powerhouse Florida State. And so it's actually going to be in Jacksonville, I believe.
I believe so, neutral site.
Neutral site game. So
yep. Now, let me add to that. I think you were talking about Heisman, dark horses, maybe candidates before we kind of went on the show. And one that might be flying under the radar is Chad Kelly. Of course, Jim Kelly's nephew, went to Last Chance U. Have you guys checked that on Netflix yet?
I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. Heard good things, though.
Well, anyway, I've read articles where people are saying Ole Miss is overrated this year, and I think he can take them as far as, you know, they're going to go basically as far as he takes them. So I think that's something to watch out for throughout the course of the season.
And it's interesting because, you know, the coach and Laramie Tunsil and everything that the off-field issues right. That's happened this summer, how will they respond the first game, you know, coming back, big-time matchup on national television. So it'll be interesting. But there's a lot on deck. It's not just that. USC and Alabama, number one team in the country from Dallas and Jerry World. We could talk about that one for a while. I mean, yeah, Alabama's had its own troubles off the field this summer with Nick Saban.
And then Jeff, you don't have a quarterback. You don't have Derrick Henry. I mean, that's a completely new team in my opinion.
Yeah.
Going back real quick to Ole Miss, you think they can still – Chad Kelly can still do it without Laquon Treadwell?
Well, they have – Cody Core, they have Evan Engram, a pretty solid tight end. I mean, they have weapons. They're pretty loaded, I think, junior class-wise. But, I mean, I just don't buy that they're overrated because when you have a good quarterback and you see it in the NFL, when you have an elite guy, you can go places, and it doesn't matter if you give up 35 points a game sometimes. Obviously, you're not going to win a championship that way, but I think they will definitely contend in the West. I think LSU, Alabama would obviously be the favorite to come out of there, but something to look out for sure.
Also, if you look back in 14, they had to replace Dante Moncrief, who's in the NFL, and Laquon Treadwell was, you know, relatively somebody, but not a number one stud. So they've done it in the past. They could do it again.
So going back to you mentioned dark horse Heisman candidates. What do you think Jabril Peppers' Heisman chances are as a non-quarterback or running back?
I do like Michigan this year. Just to give a little spoiler, they were my pick for the Big Ten. So if they're going to go anywhere, I guess it'd be safe to say he might be a dark horse in that race.
Yeah, but how long has it been since a defensive player has won? Anybody besides a quarterback, running back, or receiver has won?
17 years.
I'm going to go back to Charles Woodson, right?
Yeah, I got Charles Woodson, 97 or 98.
Mm-hmm.
Just about 25 years, so I don't like his chances that much. I mean, even if he has 8 to 10 interceptions, I don't think so.
Now, switching gears, when you come to the first week matchups, John, you're the Notre Dame fan, correct?
That is correct.
I don't think that's necessarily a make-or-break game, but it's a must-win for Notre Dame, in my opinion, because Tennessee, I mean, they probably won't have it all figured out at the beginning of the season, but – you know, you can't lose that game because I think anything, you know, 9-3 is maybe your lowest, your benchmark, and then anything lower than that is obviously a disappointment, but you're probably looking at 10-2. I mean, my friend from Notre Dame, we have a high school friend that went to Notre Dame, and he was saying, you know, Michigan State, Stanford, USC, you know, those are the only teams he could see them losing to, but, you know, Texas, you know, you can't start off with that loss.
No, you definitely have to start off high if you're the Irish this year. Because the schedule does not get any easier as you get going forward. Ending with a tough one at USC. You play, you know, Stanford and Michigan State in the first half of this season. So if the Irish want any hope of making the playoff this year, they're going to have to start hot and stay hot. So we'll see how that goes.
I guess I'll jump back to some other matchups I like real quick. Georgia Bulldogs played the Tar Heels of North Carolina in week one, and that could be, you know, it's not the top billing game, not the number one you want to see, but Georgia's got a brand new coach this year in Kirby Smart coming over from Alabama. We'll see how that goes. It's in the Georgia Dome. North Carolina came off probably was a one loss last year.
I believe Larry Fedora, former Southern Miss head coach, got a role in there.
Yeah, so that's an underrated matchup. And then you got the Clemson Tigers, who is my pick to win it all this year, playing the Auburn Tigers in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So tough matchup for them week one.
Yeah, so you guys hit on some of the good games. I was going to ask about particular, you hit on Notre Dame a little bit. I was going to ask if you think they're for real this year with the two quarterbacks despite losing all the talent on defense. And then if USC has a chance out in the Pac-12.
We'll start with Notre Dame. Jeff?
Yeah, let's go Notre Dame. I mean, like I said, I mean, I think you look at those marquee – well, for one, I mean, so Notre Dame, USC, I mean, that's one right there where you circle that because – Notre Dame is going to go anywhere. If USC is going to go anywhere, it's going to have to go through that game. So they're going to have to go through one another to get to that point.
Right.
So they got Malik Zaire and Deshaun Kizer at the two quarterback system. Yeah, that's interesting. Usually you got to have a one guy to lead the charge. I mean, you always have like a Chris Leake, Tim Tebow, sometimes like a goal line type guy. And I guess Zaire is that. And so, you know, I think Kizer will come up. You know, after probably week five or six, we'll take the lead. But they are for real, you know. They showed us last year. Brian Kelly's been a great coach. They won the national championship game in 13, I believe, against Alabama. So
that was a curse. Sorry, bad memory.
But they really, you know, their advantage is the schedule, in my opinion, because they can play who they want. And it seems like the committee is looking at strength of schedule as number one or one point or 1A, 1B in the main discussion of who gets in the top four. And so they have a lot of pull in that way where they can choose who they want to play. So that gives them a major advantage.
I think if they're a one-loss team at the end of the year, as long as it was to one of those top flight teams in their schedule, I mean, I think they make a strong case to get in this year.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely play a tough schedule, tougher than most teams.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule now. It's at Texas, Nevada, at home, Michigan State, Duke, Syracuse, at NC State, Stanford. It's going to be a tough matchup. Miami of Florida, Navy, Army, Virginia Tech, and at USC to close the season. At USC game at the end of the year, if they're a one-loss team, they win that game, they're probably in the top four, you know.
I mean, right. There are no pancakes on that schedule at all.
Maybe Nevada.
in your, you know, quintessential term of, you know, one of your really lower conferences, I mean, they schedule tough.
Right. And the only knock on this you could have against them is most of their big games are home this year, but that's just how it works when you write out contracts for those games. Let's talk a couple conferences. We're Big Ten guys. We're Midwest guys, so we're in the Big Ten all the time. Who do you guys like out of the Big Ten? Maybe a favorite, any team you see possibly sneaking up on anyone? Just kind of hinted at Michigan already, and it made my skin boil. But talk about the Wolverines if you'd like.
Well, I think you can never count out Urban Meyer and Ohio State. They're going to retool, and they're going to be back. They recruit like an SEC team. I think they are definitely in the conversation to be in that top four at the end of the year. I think Michigan is that team that makes a run at it second year with Harbaugh at the helm. I don't know. I think Michigan State might be a little down this year, but, I mean, those are really the three. And then Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I think, is a little underrated as well.
Staying with the Big Ten, what do you think Lovie Smith's going to do with the U of I program down in Champaign?
Lovie Smith.
It's going to be a tough and rocky start, in my opinion. He's a great coach. He's got the NFL pedigree, of course. He's going to build a strong defense and special teams, but that offense is going to be tough to keep the point scoring against a Michigan State and a Michigan and a Ohio State. So, you know, he's going to build a foundation, that's for sure, and give him 2 to 3 more years after some recruiting trails. But no, I don't know, this year, maybe a 7-5,
I mean,
6-6.
And then we mentioned North Carolina, I think. Second week of the season, they draw them, and you find out right away, it's like, all right, you know, do we have a legitimate squad under Lovie Smith, or are we just, you know, that same old 6-6, 7-5, 8-4 kind of team?
You know, all right. Any news coming out of Illinois football is, you know, is very welcome. So I'm good. I'm glad to hear that.
Any positive light?
It looks like their schedule is pretty tough. We go at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Nebraska. So those three conference games, it's going to be hard to go to any of those stadiums with 80,000+ people and get a win. But you know, he's going to build a strong foundation. He does it the right way. You don't see him cheating, and so he'll do all right.
And funny too that obviously I cover Southern Miss a good bit, and so Lovie Smith leaves the place where Dirk Cutter is now the head coach in Tampa Bay, and our former head coach at Southern Miss, Todd Monken, is now the offensive coordinator there.
Small world.
Yep, drawing that coaching tree out for you.
Yeah.
And now here's a fun fact about Lovie Smith. I found that he has never been a head coach in high school or college prior to this.
Yeah, he was straight out of the NFL. It was interesting to see him take the job down at U of I.
Yeah, you don't see that too often, like the reverse, you know, lineage there.
Right, right. And he, I mean, by no stretch of the imagination was he bad in the NFL. He just wasn't given time in Tampa, and then his time ran out in Chicago. So looking at the top 25 poll, Coach's poll came out. Are you surprised to see Houston and Iowa in the top 15?
I maybe not surprised, but I don't think Houston will be in the top 15 by the end of the year, and Iowa probably not either. I think those are two that you might look at. I don't think Alabama is going to be number one at the end of the year. I mean, those polls, I mean, they really are meaningless, and that's Coach Speak, so maybe I've been around them too much. But I think it's just funny how many people get it wrong at the beginning of the year. But obviously the SEC dominates the lay of the land as always. And then I think, 10, Big 12, Pac-12, don't they all have four teams in there as well?
Yeah, they do.
I'm not surprised that Houston, that they come off a New Year's Six Bowl win against Florida State. Yep. Greg Ward Sr. comes back, return at quarterback. And you have a quarterback and you're coming off that kind of win and you play in a subpar conference, you've got a pretty good chance.
So look at Houston's first game of the season.
Oklahoma and NRG Stadium, so
it's a big one.
That's you know if they drop that and then run the table, they still got a chance to get another New Year's Six bowl game. So it'll be tough.
Now, have you heard any of the rumblings that they're looking? The Big 12 is looking to expand with Houston.
Yes, and as a Southern Miss fan, where we're from, we kind of hope that happens because. You know, they need a conference championship game. That kind of opens up another can of worms. But, you know, with teams like Baylor and TCU in the last couple of years just kind of getting left out at the top five or six, not getting in that top four for the playoff, you know, it's tough. But they need to add and need to expand too, in my opinion. And Houston's a premier market. They're a pretty good academic school. They've got the numbers, a TV market, which is important. But they're going to need one more team to get the Big 12 to 12. It'll be 11 with Houston. So who do they pull from? You know, a lot of people have been talking BYU. They have the rules you can't play on Sundays, so that'll mess up other sports. But I think Houston is a no-brainer to take, especially how they're coming off in football, and they're pretty good in basketball as well. And hopefully that would open up a spot in the American Conference for Southern Miss to get a jump, but that's just a boy's dream, I guess.
Yeah, they. I was reading that Texas obviously wants Houston for the most obvious reasons, that it's another Texas school in the conference. And that Oklahoma wants Cincinnati.
Interesting.
I don't know how that makes sense, but that would open up two
spots.
Well,
it would give a travel partner for West Virginia in the Big 12, and that's important. And they bring a really strong basketball, which, you know, some people merit that. But Cincinnati's, it's a decent-sized market, and athletics are okay. I mean, academics are okay. So I would lean more to Houston if I was the Big 12, but – you know, Texas runs a lot of that with their having their own TV network and a lot of money and power flowing from that university. So I'm sure they'll get what they want.
Right. And then who do you guys like out of the Big 12, since we're talking about them?
Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
Baker Mayfield coming back.
Absolutely. They're going to be a strong team at the top. But they've always got a tough schedule. Those teams from the South Division, I guess, is, you know, I mentioned Baylor and TCU, and they're always going to be strong. And so – those games that come down to late October and early November are going to really make a difference for Oklahoma. But a one-loss Oklahoma team's probably in again.
I like it. Switch over to the SEC. I mean, each other year it's loaded, like, unbelievable. Fournette is the best running back in college football.
Yeah, you can lock that in. That's Heisman.
Tennessee has two loaded classes maturing finally. Florida's good. Alabama's Alabama. I mean, what do you see happening?
You know, it's one of those things you think you can predict it at the beginning of the year, but I'll show you the SEC forecast. And I think LSU, I really like LSU this year. I mean, they almost ran Les Miles out of town, but Fournette, you know, the ground and pound game, and they'll have enough from a quarterback, they can get that done. You know, Alabama's going to be tough, of course. Auburn's got John Franklin III at quarterback, coming from East Mississippi Community College transfer. Had 6 touchdowns in the first half of his final junior college game, all rushing, by the way. Stud, absolute stud. Last Chance You on Netflix, you need to check it out. It's another plug. But in the West, it's going to come down to LSU and Alabama game. It seems like it's every year.
And that is number 5 this year at LSU.
Yeah, LSU gives them the advantage. You know, watch out for Texas A&M. Don't forget about them. They had the quarterback transfer, Trevor
Knight. Oklahoma. So yeah. That's my sleeper pick of the year, Texas A&M, all 5 wide receivers.
You know, watch out. The East is always going to be kind of up in the air. They haven't really had any powerhouses there in a while. Georgia, Kirby Smart comeback. Florida,
yeah. They're still in this.
I mean, I think you look at it this way. Alabama or LSU will be in the top 4. I think whoever wins the West wins the SEC as usual, and I think they get into the top 4 hands down.
Is the SEC going to win the championship?
I'm kind of with Alden. I could definitely see Clemson winning it all, but I had so many players get drafted this year.
But Deshaun Watson comes back.
I know, that's like I said with Chad Kelly. I mean, sometimes
the quarterback's play is huge, and so I like Clemson, but it's going to – I don't think SEC takes it this year, but you can very well see an LSU-Clemson matchup or an Alabama-Clemson rematch.
All right, good stuff. We will go ACC. I assume you guys are both going Clemson with the talk of Clemson early on. But, I mean, it's hard to look past Deshaun Watson, like you guys just said.
But, obviously, Florida State and UNC are always going to pose a threat the way they've been playing the last year or two. Well, Florida State more than that, obviously. But it was really a shame Clemson didn't win it last year. I mean, they had it. And, you know, they might come back with a fire to get it done this time around. So, what about you guys? Where do you guys – see the landscape falling in terms of this top 4? I mean, obviously one of the Power 5 conferences will get left out, maybe 2, if Notre Dame doesn't or if they get in. I mean, who do you leave out?
You know, I think it's tough because it depends on when one of the SEC powerhouses loses. Alabama seems to pick up, you know, lucky timing on one of their losses where it's in the first half of the season, and then they create enough momentum in the second half where people believe in them again. Still get, you know, ranked pretty highly and sneak in. I think it depends. I think Alabama loses in the second half, maybe the last 2 or 3 games of the season. I don't know if they get in. But I think time plays a huge role in how many SEC teams get into the Final 4 here. What do you think, Brian?
I'm a big Clemson guy. I can't look past a returning quarterback. Deshaun Watson is one of, if not the best. I like LSU because you can't look past a great running back, and Fournette is the best running back in college football. I like USC in the Pac-12 because I think they're talented. And then, I don't know, Big Ten's up for grabs. So, whatever, it's very possible that it's wide open. And then we'll finish it up. Do you guys have any teams to look out for, or any players that people might not have heard of that they should keep an eye out for?
Well, you threw us a bone right here because we've been begging to talk about Southern Miss. They are coming off their best season since 2011 with a 4-year starting quarterback who is starting to get NFL discussion from his head coach, Jay Hobson, pretty good guy. But at least saying that he's the top 25 quarterback in the draft, Nick Mullins. But you return a lot of depth, and I've seen them ranked from 1 to 128, as low as 86. And then I saw another poll, or not a poll, but just a ranking from CBS Sports come out today where they had them ranked, I think, 34th. So you look at a gap of, you know, 52 spots out of all the Division I teams in the league. So nobody really knows what to expect, but I can very well see this team winning the Conference USA Championship. So that's my lock.
Let me just rattle off a couple of different positions that I think underrated guys. I'll start with quarterback and Tommy Armstrong from Nebraska, the senior. got a cannon of an arm. They got a new coach there up in Nebraska this year, and they had the player pass away tragically this summer. And so maybe that inspires them to play a little harder. You never know up there. Greg Ward, mentioned him earlier, from Houston. Trevor Knight was from Texas A&M. Josh Dobbs at Tennessee. He's got the dual threat. So that's just a couple of quarterbacks that could, you know, maybe give some hype. The running backs, you got a strong class at the top. Nick Chubb from Georgia coming off the ACL injury. You got Christian McCaffrey, who's in the top five of Heisman voting last year, from Stanford. Dalvin Cook from Florida State. It's a really strong class there. And then a couple of receivers, Malachi Dupree from LSU, Juju Smith from USC, Robert Foster and Adarius Stewart, both in Alabama. So a couple guys there, players to watch.
I like it. Bama, they always seem to have receivers come out of nowhere.
Yeah, watch out for Amari Cooper, second season in the NFL with the Raiders. Derek Carr coming on too. It's going to be scary.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate the time, guys, and talking football with us. We'll hopefully chime back in with you guys later in the season so we can see how these preseason picks look.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they'll all be wrong on our end anyway. And, Ron, I'm sure you guys can't wait to do nothing on you on Saturdays again, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Thanks for having us, guys.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right, stay frank, guys.